This is the ERP Advisor.
Today's episode, ERP Trends and Predictions Part 1, Year in Review.
Thank you for joining us for today's webinar, ERP Trends and Predictions Part 1, A Year in Review. Sean Wendell is one of our speakers for today. Sean is the founder and managing principal of ERP Advisors Group based in Denver, Colorado. Sean has over 25 years of experience in the enterprise software industry, helping hundreds of clients across many industries with selecting and implementing a wide variety of enterprise solutions. His podcast, The ERP Advisor, has dozens of episodes with thousands of downloads and is featured on prominent podcast platforms such as Apple and Spotify. Rebecca McCabe is our guest joining us today. Rebecca is the digital marketing manager on our team here at ERP Advisors Group. She is also the host of the wildly successful ERP Minute. On today's call, Sean and Rebecca highlight the past year of ERP by evaluating the major headlines, market trends, and exciting innovations that emerged in 2023. Welcome, Sean and Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome you, Erica Wendell. It's good to see you.
Usually behind the scenes on these.
Exactly.
Being brought into the spotlight. Well, we have covered a lot of ERP news this year, Rebecca. I mean, we hit the 100th episode. There's an ERP minute every week. Except for maybe if you were on vacation. So what, 50 news segments this year?
Yeah, tons. There was so much news to cover even in trying to prepare for this call. I know Sean and I have our cheat sheets so we don't forget any of the main topics that we have to go over. So,
well, what we wanted to treat the audience to was sort of a look back in reverse of, well, what were the most important things that we saw emerge from across the enterprise software products over the year that you've reported on, and maybe get your take on what emerged as those trends. So, Rebecca, what would you say were some of the biggest headlines that you covered this year in the ERP Minute?
Yeah, definitely. Just kind of as a summary, too, so that we can introduce Sean and I have a lot of things to talk about. I think this was a big year of acquisitions, data, and kind of a shift from the cloud to infrastructure, I think became a big focus this year. And from our perspective, I know on the outside looking in, that might not be as obvious to those evaluating ERP solutions. You're so in the trenches trying to decide what you want to do that you're not seeing all of the major plays that the vendors are doing. But there were lots of just advancements in order to ensure that the main platform was in place so that people can have better access to their data than ever before. And that was something that I think across the ERP Minute, we saw lots of headlines with that. Oracle and Microsoft had some new partnerships where OCI was now going to be offered on the Azure database. And that was huge. And a big thing that these two giants in the industry are starting to collaborate and leverage the technology that they have. And then even going to these conferences, we saw a lot from, I know Infor is making major investments in their technology, that what they're able to do in their databases, in that core infrastructure, partnering with AWS in order to continue to advance the product. And then also, I mean, NetSuite leveraging OCI, they were able to get on a data center in Canada this year. And so that was really big news. More people can access these tools than ever before. And so those were some really big things from the giants that we were seeing. But then you also saw just major advancements, product updates from all of the vendors. They were all making major advancements in terms of, like, Sage Intacct had some great financial updates to their product this year that's really offering even deeper functionality to those businesses that they serve and allowing them to do even more with the product. You also see Acumatica always has some big things going on. They were more quiet this year than I would say that they were in 2022, but they definitely would come up with these, oh, we're doing this major product update that we release. I believe theirs are twice a year, their major ones. And so just core financials, people being able to do even more with their data. And so that's kind of a main overview of what's going on, but I know Sean and I are going to go even deeper into some of these big acquisitions.
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing that I would add, of course, because you can't have a conversation about 2023 without talking about AI. There you go. So that was from an infrastructure perspective, partnership perspective, software vendors getting more clear on what their AI offerings are, like SAP, but Salesforce, and from the very top all the way down to some of the smaller vendors, you know, they had to have an AI strategy, right? You covered that a lot too.
Yeah, that was a big thing. And I know coming back to the acquisitions, the major acquisitions we saw this year were micro vertical solutions and AI solutions. Mm-hmm. And so lots of the vendors were developing their own artificial intelligence, but many were acquiring the solutions that were already in place so that they could deliver a lot more quickly. Some of the specific ones we see, like Copilot from Microsoft, we'll probably dive into that. That was their whole AI has been built baked into ERP for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And that's something you and I have tried to make very clear even throughout everything we've been covering this year. But generative AI is new to ERP. And that's really what Copilot was, allowing us to generate emails, generate more within these specific product offerings. They offered Copilot for automotive, Copilot for finance. Like, they were offering it across the stack. Einstein GPT from Salesforce came mm-hmm. up. That was a big one that they were also embedding throughout their technology stack. Joule. Mm-hmm. From SAP was a big one that you and I covered, because that's like their, I think they were building off of IBM Watson in order to put it onto the platform and then ultimately bring us Joule. And I know that IBM was doing a lot with Watson this year as well. We saw some of those investments doing more. So all of the vendors had really major AI. IFS acquired Falconry AI, which was part of their AI strategy, how they were going to start embedding it into their system. So there was so much AI.
Holy cow. Yeah.
I know. I think I'm going to actually leave because you got this. Like, no. Thank you so much. That's really well done.
Thank you.
I mean, it's crazy how much stuff has happened, mm-hmm. right? So you look at 23 and you sort of have to say, like, why aren't you following the ERP minute? Because there's so much stuff that's occurring. Like, I think even this week, we just had a couple stories, right?
We
covered a couple things. But, you know, those couple things are huge. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think we're taking a deeper responsibility, frankly, of making sure that the folks that are listening to this, you know, have a little fun with these, you know, podcasts, webinars, whatever you want to call them. We've got employees that are driving, listening to them and listening to us right now live. And, you know, much less the people on their treadmills and their bikes or whatever, and wherever you do this. And, you know, there's just so much happening that, you know, we can distill it down to what really matters. And I think that's what I'm looking forward to doing on this call with you guys.
Definitely.
Yep.
Well, with that, Sean, what would you say the major ERP trends were that emerged in 2023, especially as you kind of scan across the ERP minute stories and what you've also, of course, seen in the projects and with clients?
Yeah, and the discussions with vendors and the reports from the conferences and everything. I think I really try to go like super like exterior to the daily stuff, right? It's definitely the year of 2023. So absolutely post COVID, right? That was just wonky, like for everybody and almost mm-hmm. every industry for sure. So there was super high growth with cloud-based solutions in 2020, even in 2021. And you see these like not hockey stick percentages, but pretty high percentages for really large firms that are doing $5 billion of enterprise software a year, and they're growing at 20%, you know, like Workday. But 2023 was sort of like, you know, starting to level off a little bit, right? The growth percentage was there still, but it wasn't as high. And then you sort of have this shift from meeting business process transaction needs to now infrastructure, exactly like you said. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a little bit of a retooling year, like a regeneration year. So we saw that a lot in 2023, which from a customer perspective, those are more long-term investments that the vendor make that makes the customer doesn't necessarily see the benefit for mm-hmm. yet. But they're really, really important. I think another trend that we saw too was social responsibility.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I think the software vendors were out doing some really cool things. You know, and I might be blending a little bit of 2022 in too, Rebecca. You have to keep me honest. But, you know, from Dell Tech to even some of the EPM vendors, OneStream and some of the other folks doing things, you know, internationally, you know, sometimes it's a little bit like, hey, we're starting a technology program in this part of the world. Well, it's to get more employees for them, but that's mm-hmm. great. You know, I think that those are really good things. So I don't know. I think maybe I'm just getting older. I hate to say that. I keep saying that, but Erica and you guys know I have a big birthday this year. We're not going to talk about that. But but it's true that there's I see the software vendors taking more responsibility in their different segments, rather. You know, the employees, that's another discussion we can talk about, because you see these huge firms letting go of people and then you look at their website and they're still hiring and you're like, okay, what's going on here? You know, you're just fixing the bottom line. That's really what I think a lot of that was. And, you know, we've talked to some of those people that were, adjusted, but you know, people get to a certain point where they're making a high salary and maybe, you know, the products that they're creating with the firm aren't the software companies aren't what the software companies want anymore. So, you know, they can increase their operating profit, because ultimately what it all came down to was, with less top line growth, these software companies had to continue to meet their earnings expectations by dropping out operating expenses, or as is, you know, very specific to one of our vendors that we work with a lot, they're increasing their revenue by increasing their existing contracts with clients. So as a contract ends, the renewal, well, we're going to increase you 20%, even though you have the exact same thing, and we're not really going to do anything more for you. You know, that's the client's view. The vendor view is, well, you're getting a lot of value and da-da-da-da-da. You know, our view is like, somewhere in the middle, right? Yeah, there's a lot of value for the apps. There's cost of sales and, you know, data center, energy, electricity, all these costs are increasing just to run the apps. That's true, right? Personnel costs. But are they really increasing that much? Like, what are you guys really doing? You know, so to kind of summarize all that, I think Rebecca had a very better view, I think, of kind of like what happened in the market. What I saw from a more practical pragmatic view, I guess is what I'm trying to say, as we dealt with a lot of deals, was all of what I said. Software vendors they're shifting. They're going away from top line growth. They're looking at bottom line growth through operational efficiencies, which is great. I think that's good for everybody, frankly. You know, even the people that get let go, like, hey, what other opportunities are there in the market for you to do other things where you are adding value? You know, it's my view. You can send us an email or call me and tell me why I'm wrong. I'm fine with that. But that's my only view, right? My views don't represent the firm. Well, actually, they do.
In this case, it does.
Sorry. But the last thing I would say there is, again, just to reiterate what you said, you know, I love it when the software vendors invest in real solutions that are going to benefit customers in the long term. Because we are now, forget about, oh, are we going to go cloud? Or are we going to go on-prem? We do have a couple clients that are looking at that for other reasons, but everybody's in the cloud. So that means subscription costs, subscription revenue. That means every year you're paying the same amount for software. If you did a deal with us and we protected you on those renewals, just saying, make sure you have contract caps for your annual renewals, please, please, please. But you're paying the same, if not a little bit more each year. What are you getting? What's the value, right? Oh, well, you get two upgrades a year. Okay. Well, most of our clients use 50% of their apps at most. So, you know, but there was Acumatica did a nice improvement for OCR scanning, and NetSuite did too. Actually, both of those vendors did. And that's beneficial, right? Hey, you get this new functionality. So, you know, I love to see that. I think the really good vendors, again, are more focused on this infrastructure play for long-term benefit. And I will talk about where I think that goes in the future for sure, because that's extremely interesting. And even what some of the implications are for firms like us in the future. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking. There you go. Good
luck.
That's
a good teaser to come back to tomorrow's call, which is the predictions for 2024. I almost let one slip. So that's right. We're talking the year in reverse.
That's right.
Tomorrow will be, what do we see in the coming year? So, perfect. Well, Rebecca, that was good oversight, Sean, I think just at the high level. And I hadn't even realized that just from what I see on the clients and their projects and talking to prospects day to day, that the infrastructure is sort of a behind the scenes investment that they do have to make, because you don't want all those data centers crashing on you.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Rebecca, maybe more in the weeds, because you are our vendor representative now. You go to the conferences, you meet with the ERP advisory people, as well as go to the different breakout sessions and see what the products are doing. Yeah. So what kinds of new technologies did you hear about that the vendors were bringing forth this year?
Yeah, so Yeah. So definitely, you and I talked about this quite a bit. The vendors are definitely utilizing AI a lot more in order to embed that throughout their solutions. We saw a lot more of those data lakehouses, data warehouses, so that people could actually, whatever they're called now, as Sean says, need a boat.
I wanted to know if they have like data winter cabins and
you know,
beach houses too.
Yeah, so many things that they're creating in terms of their ability to store data and then also to integrate those systems into your ERP, other solutions. I know based off of financial results, people are investing a lot more in the infrastructure, but then also those bolt-on solutions, like they're looking at their HCMs, they're looking at their EPMs, their CPMs, they're trying to add more FP&A, those kind of things, so that they can do more with their system.
A lot of acronyms.
Yeah, so many acronyms.
Like, what are those again?
we need a little chart
pop-up
that Sean and I point, and it just goes across the
Maybe
screen.
Maybe the guys will create
guys.
That as we look at the tech guys. You could put a definition, EPM, CPM, FP&A, put it on the call so that people see it when they listen.
So that people know what it
Enterprise is. Enterprise performance management, corporate performance management, financial planning and analysis.
But yes. Continue. But these solutions more and more are utilizing AI, machine learning, ML, large language models, LLMs, so many acronyms that the vendors are using just to like try and communicate the value that they're bringing. And they're embedding this into the system so that you're getting these NetSuite's a great example. Their analytics warehouse where the customers can actually take all their data from across multiple systems and then generate reports so that they can see like a full breakdown of the process from end to end so that they can actually make solid decisions. They're not the only vendor doing this. That's just the one that came to mind because I did see it in action at Suite World. But lots of the vendors are creating those kind of solutions. We're seeing more field services solutions coming from the vendors. And they've always been around. There's always been great third-party field service solutions, best of breed. But now the vendors are actually creating their own or acquiring solutions in order to better integrate them with their platforms. So that was a big thing. And I think just in general, field service was a big one because we saw that from a lot of the vendors releasing their own solutions. But you also saw with these acquisitions that the vendors were kind of configuring these new micro vertical solutions, especially in automotive, healthcare. I saw a lot of healthcare, especially from Infor and Microsoft. Microsoft acquired or had a partnership with Epic. Now I can't remember off the top of my head, so that they could deliver better healthcare solutions. Epicor's diving even deeper into their automotive solutions and how they can use robotic process automation and different things. Infor had a lot of that to further enhance their products. And so we're getting even deeper into the weeds of this back end stuff that's just going to make people's lives easier is really what I saw from the news.
I mean, just from our clients, even just a couple that I can think of with these new data warehouses that the vendors are bringing in to their own portfolio, as opposed to just having to go get an external solution. It does seem like a new trend that emerged that I hadn't noticed for our clients even in the previous year. It'll be interesting to see how it really pans out for them, where it kind of gives you more of the all-in-one solution for all those reports that you hope to have that really the ERP doesn't necessarily do, but now you can extend your ERP into your new, well, lake house. Lake house, whatever they're called.
Winter cabin.
Lake house. I think that was the new one. Data lake to lake house.
Data
it was
lake,
data lake,
lake house,
yes. And now it's lake house.
Well, and you're going to hear a lot about data mesh and other kinds of data strategies because that's really the frontier that I think when you report back or the conferences that we talked about, I think the ERP vendors are taking more responsibility for that versus just, look, we're a transactional system and you can, you know, hit the CSV export button and there you go, right? I mean, that's kind of mean, but it's kind of true. You know, now offering different kinds of analytics, even SAP's analytics cloud. And, you know, there's a lot of other tools that all of the vendors offer. You know, the Infor has a solution too. We selected and implemented Infor with a client. And the big reason was because of their data and analytics solutions. So Burst. So they're definitely there. And I think folks are figuring out how to use them better. So that's good. There's so much I want to say, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we'll have to check back in and hear what you have
there
to say
you go.
On that.
Come back tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Well, how would you say that each of the vendors really advanced their offerings in 2023?
You know, like we talked about, definitely a lot of infrastructure support. I think Rebecca touched on something super important, which is more micro vertical focus. Mm-hmm. Even food and beverage is another industry we've talked a lot about. You've talked to a lot of prospects about. And these are organizations that are maybe on older versions of Microsoft, or maybe they implemented JD Edwards, I think was one you've talked to recently. But a lot of them have custom systems, green screen, or just old AS400 applications. We certainly run into that quite a bit too. So, you know, those functions, which is so interesting because, you know, you think about legacy markets and, you know, we don't really care. Like as a firm, we don't care what industry somebody's in. It's legacy. I can remember working in other organizations like, you know, we're really only going after kind of upstarts or, you know, newer growing, blah, blah, blah. Where's all the private equity money going into kind of? And that's not our focus, right? We're like dealing with real people that have real problems, and their software was written 20, 25 years ago, and it's extremely micro, vertically focused, even down to that company's focused, right? You've had to have like those
one
discussions.
Support person supporting the product.
And they might be ready to retire, or, you know, they have that lake house.
No, the vendor has one support person.
Oh, the even worse, right?
not the client, but the vendor.
A really big distributor we're working with right now in a specific micro vertical, and they're on a micro vertical solution, and they basically just been hamstrung, just stuck with this app, right? But, you know, they're not really, but they kind of are. So I'm kind of meandering again, but I think this, the micro vertical focus, I remember being at JD Edwards in 2000. Were you guys were?
They weren't born yet, no.
No. Okay.
Yeah, they
gleam in the eye. Okay, good. Oof, oh Lordy. Anyway, there we go. I walked into that one again. But you know, we were talking about, you know, very, very not just energy, but not just oil and gas, but upstream, downstream, you know, midstream, and you know, lots of very, very focused micro vertical. The focus of micro vertical has been there forever. But the difference is that the solutions are packaged in a way where I think it's much more real for a client that's maybe not as sophisticated as a, you know, $3 billion organization or bigger that has a larger IT group can leverage. And that's cool, right? Because again, looking to solve real problems that customers have. So I think that's good. And again, I'm thinking about our listeners right now. We're kind of giving you some general stuff, you know, but I think looking back, there definitely is sort of a make break point that I think we're hitting with ERP specifically, because to continue to grow, the enterprise application vendors, right, ERP vendors, if you will, with Salesforce, you know, SAP, even ServiceNow, Workday, definitely Oracle, Infor, Unit4, Dell Tech, IFS. I mean, there's so many that we've worked with. We've worked with all of them, and we've done deals with all of them, even though some of the vendors don't think we have, but software salespeople. Anyway, I think it's actually kind of a mature market. I think 2023, we saw like, what else are they going to do, right? Yeah, there's the micro vertical. There's the infrastructure support. Like, what do they really do for growth? Like, where does that 20-25% growth come from? SAP, right? They've got their cloud strategy straight. They've had major investments in other platforms, other ERP platforms, but they're sort of steering, you know, definitely much more towards S/4HANA. And there's Business One partners that we know of that are, you know, they're paying for their kids' college and everything else through doing B1 implementation. So that solution's out there. But how do they really grow? You know, how do they really, really grow, right? And that's their problem, because then they make the return and they get to do whatever they want with it. But when we're talking to our clients and advising them this year, it was just interesting to say, you know, what happens with Acumatica, right? Intacct, NetSuite, right? Those are more on an incline in terms of the market share, especially Acumatica. I mean, we saw a lot of Acumatica deals this year. We saw a lot of customers prefer to go with a simpler solution, a simpler implementation. And, you know, that will be the trend going forward, is simplicity. And again, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But, you know, there's this, there really is this, this 2023 view of IFS coming on the market with lots of verve, right? I always make words up. What's the right word?
I think that's a real word.
Okay, yes. Good. Yes. But really, they, you know, they really came in. They're sponsoring a lot. You see their ads in airports and everything, and they're really getting their name out because they do have, and they've got 30, 35, 40 years of product history. They've got a strong private equity partner behind them that's super committed from what we see. So, you know, it's just been a very interesting year because it's a mature industry. These vendors are maturing. They're getting more market awareness out by doing more micro vertical solutions. And there are tons of customers that are still running on legacy systems. I mean, most of the people listening to this probably are like, I'm listening to this because I don't know what to do because I'm on the old SAP, Infor, Microsoft, you know, Dell Tech. That was our client earlier today.
EBS.
Well, Microsoft. all the Oracle stuff, right? You know, or even you know, old McCola or units specifics or industry specific solutions that you know, were written a lot of years ago. And so, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is it is a mature market. We really matured, I think, in 2023. We saw less growth, but the software vendors will continue to differentiate, but not in the areas that I think are going to be as market facing like we saw in 2023 with micro vertical. I really think it's going to be a lot more platform oriented because I do think the platforms, all of this meandering that I'm doing right now, maundering, is ultimately to say we're set up now for some radical changes into the future that will drastically simplify ERP. The fact that it's still so freaking hard to have a successful ERP project, I mean, that's like so unacceptable. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, well, sometimes the houses we build fall down. Like they don't work. They don't, they literally fall down. Oh, that's not good. Well, how many times is that, right? Is it like heavy wind like today here? Or, I don't think we're going to fall down, but the building's not going to fall down. Well, you know, it's only 50% of the time. What? 50% of the houses like fall on people? Now, I mean, that, you know, ERP maybe isn't quite like that. But, you know me, I'm the drama queen.
I mean, if you're going to roll out, say, your email IT strategy of your email and documents for Teams and Microsoft and Doc, I mean, it's not like, you know, 50% of that fails.
Right. Now, so one would say it's a lot easier and there's less dependencies on the people that are already busy and blah, blah, blah. There's reasons. I mean, you go to the website, you'll find every reason in the world. Literally, there's like 8 of them for real from what happens. But I just think ERP is going to get so much simpler. Right. And Microsoft is driving a lot of this with Azure, you know, with Copilot and with even their licensing model. But the partners are still making pretty big bank, frankly, on big implementations. Yes. They need to figure out their different business models. But even one of the partners or one of the larger vendors, I won't say who because we're still checking this stuff out and it's still confidential. They're looking at 4-week implementations that are AI driven. Like now, this isn't 10 years from now. This is like right now. And that makes it a lot easier for everybody. It does. Maybe it makes firms like us less prevalent. Fine. Hey, maybe we'll go retire at that point.
We can just get one of the AI-driven firms. Oh, it's an easy 4-week implementation. What's the big deal?
There you go. That's right. Right. Well, I'll go find something else to do. That'd be cool. Yeah. Maybe we'll, you know, start a airline. I don't know. I really want to get a hotel. I think that'd be cool. Anyway, that's another story for another time. Anyway, long story short here, investment, micro vertical focus, talk to the market, say what we do, what we can help with, and actually do help. And in the meanwhile, the vendors are taking all of this recurring revenue that they get every year, not just hiring gazillions of people that aren't going to end up doing anything, but actually getting in place infrastructure with other partners like AWS that have shovels loads and wheelbarrows and truckloads and like the big mining truck, dump truck size cash flow that they can invest in some real innovation that could change the world. I'm super excited about that. And that's the right thing because again, no more failures. Like this is ridiculous that we're still talking about ERP failures being blah, blah, whatever percent. Like that's ridiculous. I do think the vendors are taking more responsibility there. Good luck figuring out what I just said.
I did want to latch on to one thing you said. You mentioned how like there was the hockey stick growth for the couple years previous, but then last year kind of leveled off. What were the factors behind that?
Interest rates. And just fear in the market too, you know, and those companies that were adopted, not just early adopters, but the middle level adopters, they adopted already software. And so now you've got the stragglers, the laggers, you know, the guys and gals out there that are like, if I change software and it fails, my company like goes, you know, like dies. And I can't afford to do that unless I'm absolutely, absolutely, absolutely sure. Right. And that's the bulk of the market. Unequivocally, there's many, many more conservative organizations out there that are sitting on these legacy apps. They're being forced, like our company we talked to yesterday, to switch. And the vendors are really forcing it now, too. It's not, I mean, the SAPs and Oracles and their partners that they sue. anyway, another story, are going to support legacy apps forever. But that's not the case for the tier two vendors where they just can't afford to support it. Or they're part of a roll-up strategy where a private equity has purchased all these different apps and they just, they're like, yeah, we're getting rid of them and you're going to have to upgrade the end, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. At least I can say that, but yeah.
So pretty much only just the change of interest rates would drive, would get people to walking back into the market for the enterprise change or?
No, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And it's not just the change in interest rates. It's what that indicated to the market, especially PE. We had several projects that got delayed because of that, right? Where the PE was like, look, if I have to use my own cash for this, I'm not going to. I've been using other people's at a low rate. Sorry.
I PE think that guys. Was a... That was a hallmark of this past year.
Yes,
that we saw.
It definitely was. It definitely was. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the truth. So that was a big reason. But I also just think it was market conditions. And but again, we still had lots of private companies and public companies and folks all over that were just saying, I got to do a technology change as well. But I do just think there was sort of a factor of, well, you know, the other factor that happened too, I think for some of our consumer goods. Sort of, you know, e-tailer distributor kind of companies was that the supply chain problems went from, oh my gosh, there's nothing in the supply chain to, oh my gosh, we all overordered. Oh, and we're wow. sitting on a ton of capital and inventory. We got to get it out. And the demand is going down a little bit because I think consumer spending was down a little bit in 2023 also. You know, people sort of hoarding a little bit more cash. And so they were also like, we don't really want to put money into investment now when our money is in inventory that's sitting across the supply chain.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was another factor. Yeah.
Then comes the FP&A solutions and the digital supply chain planning things from the vendors.
Exactly.
Because they're sitting on so much and now they're like, oh my gosh, now we need a plan. This can never happen again.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Rebecca, was there any other thoughts you had about some of the trends that you saw for the year that we didn't touch on yet?
I do think a lot of the other vendors, just as Sean was talking, I thought about some things. Lots of the larger vendors are kind of going into those mid-markets as well. That's where they're trying to increase their revenue. Like, oh, funny yeah. enough, we've talked about this so much that we didn't realize Grow was actually in 2023 from SAP, which is for their mid-size companies.
Exactly.
And so, whereas Rise is for their like kind of startups, small businesses and different things. So it's funny that you see like them moving into those those markets. I think IFS is kind of moving into those markets. We've seen them more doing more targeting that. And then also creating solutions that make it easier for those companies to actually enter the market. We're seeing, I know Infor is offering some of their solutions on the AWS marketplace, which is part of their infrastructure so that people can go in and like pick and choose their applications and decide what they need. And so we're seeing a lot more of that. I know Unit 4 also had a similar, they created their own marketplace with tools so that it was a lot easier for customers to see what was available to them. And I think lots of the vendors are moving towards simplicity, towards ease. It's the same way I can go online and order anything I need from Amazon, like the new microphone that got here in a day. Like customers are going to be able to go on to these online marketplaces and shop around and be able to see, oh, cool. Like this is the application that I need for what I need right now. Hmm. And I'm going to just plug it into my ERP. And it's kind of, I think it's more conceptual at this point about how easy it's going to be to plug in. Those integrations have to be in place. And I don't know that they're quite there yet being realistic, not pessimistic, but realistic. They will be there, just not yet. But we're definitely moving towards that trend, even just seeing what some of the vendors are doing and the products that they're releasing. So,
and it's incredible. I recalled being at the Arizona State University with a great accounting professor. She asked me to come down and speak when I was at JD Edwards. And I did this whole thing about the semantic web. From Tim Berners-Lee. He was the founder of, well, I guess so was a former vice president, but he actually really did found the World Wide Web. Was from Tim Berners-Lee. And yeah. The concept of the semantic web was all of these apps work together. They have state and awareness and they can communicate. And, you know, it's like there's a bunch of bots, but there's just like this consistency across all these applications that they actually work together. And that it was very conceptual, but the concept was if you look at any of the value chains in a business or a nonprofit, procure to pay or order to cash or whatever, that we could rely on different kinds of system or different systems, which even, you know, Oracle was building with their OCI with the earlier renditions were around JD Edwards, PeopleSoft, EBS were to pull services from each one of those apps, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a more micro example of the macro example of the semantic web. And what you just talked about, right? Like a marketplace provides that central sort of platform where these different services can come together and you can leverage those. And I think each vendor, just like you said, is building out their own. But it's just interesting how it has taken decades. Like if you don't understand the history of ERP, you don't know where it's going to go into the future. Really, probably anything, right, for any discipline. But, you know, even working in the telcos in the whenever years, the 90s, with putting in the infrastructure so that all these apps could run in the cloud, right? Thank goodness. Okay. What would we have done during COVID, right? We all would have been stuck. Instead of just sitting in our offices, work from home, Zoom, what do you do for the background? Do you cloud your background? Do you put a logo up? Do you make it? Do you show it so that, you know, your wife comes in and grabs her purse and waves and then leaves, honey? Thanks. But seriously, like, I mean, that's all this infrastructure has been put in place. So I really do feel like we're adding the last little building blocks with AI. Like it's, you can look at it like a pyramid, not Maslow's needs, hierarchy of needs. Maybe it's Sean's ERP needs. I don't know, but EAGs will say. But there is this top part that we're now handling this problem of AI, which is really just automated decision making. You know, how can we tell the salespeople which prospects they really should call for cold calls, right? Or in accounting, you know, how can we find our own fraud? Why do we need the auditors to come in when we can run our own tests internally and spit that? And that's already happening today, right? Or every part of the business from a marketing perspective, you know, target the marketing down to the unique account, right? We're trying to do that. Yeah. All throughout the entire nonprofits too. Like there's so much opportunity still to help people to make better decisions. There's a shortage of people, qualified people. Where are all those qualified people? They're out there still, but that's another story for another time. But the bottom line is that we're handling problems in enterprise software today that are, again, I believe at the very top of this pyramid that once this thing's developed, there will be astronomical change, right? You could say we're going to Uber, you know, this industry or that industry or whatever, but the Ubering of enterprise software, I think, is literally right around the corner. Again, mm-hmm. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But I mean, if I were you guys and I wanted to know more about ERP, I would definitely listen to your ERP Minute because, I mean, I get to read the scripts that you put together, so I can even keep up to speed with all the press releases and everything else that's going on. But, you know, when you see the micro impacts, the incremental changes that are happening on a week by week basis. And then we get the luxury of being able to sit back and look at this. You're sort of like, oh my gosh, like there's about to be a lot of change. And do you really want to invest in this platform over that platform when this changes in the future? And you really need to align yourself with partners that with software vendors that are building the solutions for 10 years out. Like you got to do that.
That kind of segues right into the perfect final wrap-up question, which is, and how would you summarize this past year in one word?
Yeah, I was going to say, you go for that. You looked at me. I'm like, I came into this with an idea of it, but just as we've been talking, I'm like, oh, no, maybe I don't. Maybe as I'm looking at the news, different things. Maybe my word's connectivity. Maybe that's my summarization of it. I think that plays into the simplicity, and I think that plays into the new integrations, and I think it plays into and hints at some of the things that I know we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Exactly.
But that's how I would summarize the year.
Interesting. How about you, Sean?
Well, I never look at the question, so I'm always like coming right off. That's what I probably should have thought about. Even
though we try to like spoon feed.
I know, right? Oh, these? you know, I think it's for me, it's anticipation. I don't think that, you know, again, there were great things happened, but I'm anticipating like these vendors are taking this cash and they're starting to do like profound things with them. And so I'm anticipating 2023 was a year of anticipating what's to come. I usually like to stay in present time and look at what I do on every one of our deals, of course. But yeah, that's what I would say.
Thanks. Wow. Well, that was a lot of good information, and I definitely feel prepped for us to go into tomorrow to actually look forward into all those things you're alluding to.
Yeah, well, thank you too, Erica, for being on. You add a nice dimension, and you know, despite the fact that we're married, I mean, I think it's great that you're here anyway. I don't know. Thank you for jumping in because I it's good. I love hearing what you have to say too, Rebecca. And that's probably been a big change for us this year is you have really just like gobbled all this information. It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. And I would say, I try to tell everybody too, like I hit a point where I think I've learned so much and how can I even learn anymore? And then next thing you know, I confront something that I have no idea. So, okay,
sure.
This was earlier on. They asked what conferences are you attending to build community? And you might want to repeat that back.
So there was a listener had a question of what conferences are we attending to build community?
Yep.
Okay. Definitely. So I know that this kind of – it can change year to year just depending on the vendors. In 2024, we are already planning on going to the NetSuite Influencer Conference, which is going to be in February. We're going to the Acumatica Summit so that we can get a really good idea of what's going on with them. We're always connected with them, but it's so great to see their product in action and get to meet with some of those people that we Zoom with all the time. Yeah. I'm assuming we will be going back to Epicor.
Yep.
That was one that we attended last year. Infor is in the works. NetSuite, Suite World, definitely always on the list.
Intact. Intact. Sage Intact.
Yes, there will be an Intact one. And then I know Oracle usually has a conference in February as well. So really, we are open to any – if the vendors would like to reach out, if there are any vendors watching this, please let us know. We definitely like to participate, want to get product updates. And it's really – we attend the conferences that we get invited to. So.
Yeah. And I would say for the listeners out there too, I mean, because we got to go to these things, although sometimes we don't, but we try to. Like we missed an update, frankly, from Unit 4 last year that just didn't work with schedules and stuff, which I regret. But we always look at the releases and what comes out of them, all of them. We do that for Microsoft, for SAP, for all the big ones. But I would say for you all, you know, the user conferences are really good. They really are. And not only because you're hearing about, you know, the marketing stuff, frankly, but you're also meeting other people that are in the same boat as you, and you'll learn a ton from what they're doing and they'll learn a ton from you too. I see a lot of existing, you know, great relationships that pop out of that. Plus it's usually fun, a little bit of a reward, especially if you're doing a lot around ERP or you just implemented. We have one client that's going to go to Acumatica and they're just the beginning of their selection or excuse me, their implementation. And so I'm excited for them to meet face to face with their implementation team. Cause that's the other thing, like you said, we're Zooming all the time, but also to meet other people who have been through what they're about to go through so they can connect and get some names of people to call and say, hey, what do we do about blah, you know? So I think the user conferences, and they're almost all coming back. Even IFS is going to do one in North America this year. We're going to try to make it to that too, but definitely try to, that's what I would say. I mean, there's other kinds of conferences, of course, but you know, we're ERP people. That's what we're going to answer with.
Yes, definitely.
Is there any other questions, Will? Okay. Well, thank you again for joining us for today's call. Please let us know if we can answer any questions that you have. Be sure to join us for our next webinar scheduled for tomorrow, Thursday, January 11th, ERP Trends and Predictions Part 2, 2024 Predictions, where we will make our ERP market predictions for 2024 and evaluate how these trends could impact your business. Please go to our website, erpadvisorsgroup.com, for more details and to register. ERP Advisors Group is one of the country's top independent enterprise software advisory firms. ERP Advisors Group advises mid to large size businesses on selecting and implementing business applications from enterprise resource planning, customer relationship management, human capital management, business intelligence, and other enterprise applications, which equate to millions of dollars in software deals each year across many industries. This has been the ERP Advisor.